Good morning. Good to be here with you. And as our nation is going through some things, as our church is going through some things, I would encourage you to just keep one another in prayer, keep situations in prayer. And our congregation, particularly the Mandarin congregation, if you keep that congregation in prayer with things that are uncertain that is happening worldwide. But we know that we can trust the Almighty God, and especially this passage that we're dealing with today really touches a lot of things. So let's go to prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about these things. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. That no matter what is going on in this world, in our nation, in our city, in our families, even in our church, Lord God, we know that we can trust you. You're the God of all. You are the creator God. You are sovereign. And Lord, we trust you for our lives, the things that will happen in the future, for things that's happening now. And we pray that you will give us the faith we need, allow us to grow in it, allow us to be able to see your hand at work no matter what. Father, we pray that you speak to our hearts from this passage, a tremendous passage that you have shared with us from your heart. And we pray that you speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Barbara and I had a conversation this week, and it went kind of like this. You know, God was so good to the people of Israel. Can you imagine? Here they are going through the Sinai Peninsula, I guess, in the desert, what the Bible called the wilderness. They got out of Egypt, experienced all kinds of miracles. During the day, there was a cloud, a literally supernatural cloud leading them. At night, there was a fire there, leading them and protecting them. Nobody can touch them. Not only that, they went through the desert, they went through the wilderness, they didn't have to farm. They literally had no economy, really, to speak of. But yet, every night, a bunch of little birds, millions of them, because there were millions of them, the people, would land and just say, "Eat me." And it was not bad. I just went to a restaurant and we had squab. It wasn't quail, but it's about the same. It was pretty delicious, Chinese style, of course. I don't know how they cooked it. Over the course of 40 years, you can figure they found a lot of ways to cook it, right? And then not only that, there were these wafers that would come down from heaven. We call them manna. And you think, you know, I don't know how you envision manna, just popcorns coming down. No, if you saw it and read about it, they were pretty delicious thing, kind of honey-like thing. And I'm sure they figure out a lot of ways to cook it. So all kinds of stuff was happening. And after a while, I think what happens is the goodness of God gets to us. And we almost feel like we're entitled to his goodness, right? So when God commanded them to go in the first time into the land of Canaan, promising all these things, saying that you are going to take that land and you are going to dwell in it, it is the land that I've given to you. They go in there and they come back with the exception of two. They said, "We're just like grasshopper. We're going to die there. There's no chance at all." The great God of the fire and the cloud and the man and the quail and all those things, well, he's insignificant. You know what happens? When we experience the blessings of God so often, so after a little while, it ceases to be God. It's all about us. God has to give that to us. Of course, he's got to provide the blessings for us. And it ceases to be God who is everything, and it becomes us. It's all about us. Even our Christian faith is about us. Our religion, our faith in God, it's about us and not God. And you saw what happened there. God said, and that's the one passage where he says, in his anger, he said, they will never enter my rest. And so today we want to talk about the rest because it is about that. You know, I want to tell you, yesterday we said goodbye and celebrated the life of a dear sister, Barbara. And guess where she's at right now? She's experienced the Sabbath rest of the Lord, as with so many that have gone before us. This is what it's about. So when God says here that we need to be careful, in chapter 3, he gave us a warning about that. It's important that we don't do what Israel did. We don't rebel. We don't harden our hearts. We don't, you know, tell God basically it's about us and not about him. Because if we do, we will miss out on this Sabbath rest. And what is the Sabbath rest? The message today, I want to share with you three thoughts, three major thoughts. What is it anyway? This comes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is written by David. You already know that from the last few weeks that we talked about chapter 3. Psalm 95 is David talking about the situation where Israel came out and disobeyed God. And at the end of 95, it says, because of that, I will never let them enter my rest. What is that? That sounds pretty foreboding. But we want to discover what rest is. Because it is not just the rest that we're talking about. There is something called a Sabbath rest, and we'll add on to that. But I was thinking about this and working at it. And say, when we talk about rest, and the Greek word here, rest, is just simply rest, like we understand it in English. What is rest? Is rest just us not doing anything? Well, first of all, if we're going to rest, it means that we are ceasing action, right? When you take a rest from something, you're working, you're ceasing action. So you're stopping whatever you're doing, you are resting. That means that you're not doing anything. And it's interesting that when we talk about resting in God, one of the understandings we need to understand in salvation is that really we can't do anything. We can't do anything to save ourselves. That's why the word grace is so important. Grace is unmerited favor. It is God doing everything. He does the work of salvation. We are just resting upon his grace. So it's important to understand that we are not working at it. And a lot of religions like that, you know, you got to work at it, work at it, work at it. That's the only way your religion is going to work. But when it comes to God's rest, it isn't that. Something else about rest I think is interesting. One of the things that people do a lot is we worry a lot. And when you're worrying a lot, you're not at rest. You're not at peace. One of the things that a number of years ago, there were a lot of commercials on sleeping. People are having a tough time falling asleep. So I just investigated a little bit, read what it's about, what are these things like Ambience and different sleeping things, what do they do? And basically, essentially, they have some kind of electrical signal, breaking it down, separating your thought patterns in your brains. Because when you are worrying all the time, you're constantly thinking, and you cannot rest, and you do not have peace. So rest, in a sense, is not only not working, it's also having a sense of peace in your life. Some other things about rest, you know, is being secure. Being secured in what you are, where you are. It's like when you're moving around all the time, moving from apartment to apartment, house to house, you're not settled. But when you're settled, you're resting. It's just like the Israelites going into the land of Canaan. They would have entered the rest. Now, that rest is not the eternal rest, really, that God is talking about. It is just a type or an example of the Old Testament to talk about what God really had in mind. But one thing about resting that I really enjoyed as I was just investigating and studying what rest is about is leaning on somebody. When I'm resting on somebody, right? When I'm doing things and I'm tired, I've just got to lean on somebody, or I just can't get that done, and I need to lean on somebody to do it for me or help me do it. That's resting upon somebody. Isn't that great? Rest is resting upon God, leaning upon God, trusting in God to do that which you cannot do. And now, when you bring it all together, this is just rest. Add on to that the Sabbath rest, which really defines eternal and permanent forever rest. You see how much we need God for that. We just can't do that. So when we talk about here, and the scripture says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it goes back to Joshua leading the people into Canaan. It goes back to Moses trying to get them into Canaan. But they didn't go. They didn't want to enter the rest that God has prepared for them. But for us, it isn't about entering a land. It isn't entering a time period or anything like that. It is entering the Sabbath rest, the eternal rest that God has in mind for us. And that I want to tell you is salvation. Salvation not just in this life, of course, to be saved before the Almighty God, but eternally to be in rest. Let me take you back to Genesis. When the Almighty God created the heaven and the earth, right? 6 days he created. And then he said everything is good. Remember that? And then he says, it's good. Now I'm going to take my rest. Enter what is called a Sabbath rest. Does that mean that God just didn't do anything, care about anything? No, it wasn't that. God looked at what he created and he said, everything is exactly what I want it to be. Everything is perfect. That includes all the creatures, the stars, the skies, everything, includes Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve were living in that rest, this Sabbath rest that God was in. And everything was perfect. That is what heaven is about. And that is what salvation is about. And that is what we're looking forward to. And that is what we are pointing people to. The Sabbath rest in which everything is perfect. It is God's design for the existence of mankind. But you know what happened? Something broke that rest. Satan came in, the tree, the disobedience, and suddenly, instead of living in the Sabbath rest that God has designed for Adam and Eve, they were not in the rest anymore for the rest of their lives. And so humanity came to be. It's a Sabbath rest. What is it? Sabbath rest is us trusting in the Almighty God, resting upon Him, depending upon Him, trusting in His power, His grace, trusting in His peace, and knowing that as we do that, enter it, we have eternity in mind. And so every single person that we celebrate a life for, we know that they enter the rest, the Sabbath rest, as our sister did yesterday, as we celebrated her life. Now, how do you get that? How does one enter the rest? Interesting, the passage. I'm going to go very specifically here. Follow with me, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you to be found to have fallen short of it. It takes faith in Jesus. But first thing here, you find that it is still available. The promise of entering his rest. You know what I mean? This is a time of grace. We are living in a time of grace. It is still available. If someone wants to give his life to Jesus Christ right now, right here, it can be done. Because this is still a time of grace. It is still available. But it gives us a warning. It goes here in the version that we have, which is in the NIV. It says, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. Let us be careful. A better translation would probably be the NASB and other translation. Because in the Greek, that phrase, be careful, it is, let us be very afraid. Let us be afraid of making a wrong choice, basically what it is. So be careful, yes, but it's more severe than that. It let us be afraid of that so that we don't miss out on this. This past week, my heat went out. So I figure, okay, probably the pilot light. So I go up to the attic, and I don't know why it's in the attic. It's only in Houston that your heat and AC is in the attic, but nevertheless, there. So I mess around things, flashlight, and sure enough, it's my pilot light. Now, if you ever mess around with gas, you got to be very careful, right? You know that. You don't just turn knobs here and there. You have to be very, very careful. Why? Because gas can do things. It can blow your house up. So, in fact, a lot of people don't want to do that. They want to bring a plumber or somebody else to do that. But if you know how, you know how it is. It is safe enough if you know how. But you got to be very careful. You turn the right knobs. You press the right buttons. You light the light thing. And it happens. And you're careful. You close everything up. That's what you got to do. Why? Because you're afraid. You're afraid of your house burning up. Now, not the equivalent by any stretch. But this is what the verse here said. Let us be afraid. Be very afraid that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, let's not do this again. Let's not fall short of it again. The promise of entering God's rest that was given back then. Let us be very, very careful. Verse 1. Verse 2, it says, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. Now, the good news here, you can even equate it to the gospel, which is exactly what it is. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obey. Another word, what the writer to the Hebrews here is saying is this. Just because you know it is not good enough. See, the people back then, they knew it. They heard Joshua. They heard Moses. They knew what they needed to do. God has told them to go into Canaan. God has promised them, said, this is what's going to happen when you go. It is land flowing with milk and honey. Your families, your society, your nation is going to prosper. They didn't believe them. They didn't believe. Because they saw themselves. They didn't see God. They didn't look at the Creator God, the God who can do anything. They looked at themselves and their inabilities and their lack and the fact that they are small and they are big. They didn't believe. But they knew it. They knew everything. They knew the gospel. They knew the good news proclaimed to them. And it says right here, just as they did, they knew that. But the message you heard was of no value to them. So in other words, if you grow up in a church, you've gone to Sunday school all your life, you heard everything, you read the Bible from beginning to end, you gone to Bible school even, you went to seminary, it's worth nothing to you if you don't believe, if you don't have faith. And what is faith? Faith is not just knowing. This is really important. Hearing is not enough. You must believe. You must believe. No faith, no rest. Let me read for you Matthew 7. If you have your Bible, you can turn it with me. But I'll just read it very quickly to you, for you. Matthew chapter 7, and it is a really rough passage. I want to tell you, it's really, really rough. Verse 21. This is what it says. Not everyone who says to me, this is Lord Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He's saying, not everyone's going to enter heaven, only those who have faith and does it. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Verse 23, then I would tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's a really hard passage. Passage that pastors don't want to preach. We don't do that because it's talking about people that are religious. It's talking about people that are in the kingdom of God in the sense of, you know, mentally. It's talking about people that are in the church. It's talking about people that are in your small groups. It's talking about people who call themselves Christians. It is not talking about Muslims. It is not talking about Buddhists and Hindus and all those people. It is not talking about to atheists. This is what it is. Hard passage. The last thing I want to say to somebody. But this is what Jesus said. There'll be one day when a whole bunch of people are going to stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things for you? See, because without faith, real faith, faith that works, faith that is inactive, faith is not that is not just mental, faith that is obedience-oriented. Without faith, guess what happens? You do not enter into the Sabbath rest of the Almighty God. You do not enter into the kingdom of God. You may look like a Christian. You might sound like a Christian. You might even do things that Christians do. But you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And whose rest are we interested in? Verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That's Psalm 95 again, the last verse there. It is God's rest. It is not the rest that we declare. It's not some theological jargon that we say, okay, we give you this. What does it matter what my theology is when it doesn't mesh with the Almighty God? It is his rest. And God has this rest that is set up for us. He's planned this rest for us. A rest in which we, again, we trust in his grace, not in our work. A rest in which we have his peace. We don't have to worry and fight and worry about our guilt. A rest in which we are secured that our names are written in the book of life. A rest in which we lean upon God. Say, God, you live out my life. By your grace I live, not by my work. And in verse 5, go with me there. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Without faith, it is impossible. You can't make it. You can't force it. You can't say, God, I have to be in there. Come on. No, it is by faith. It is only by faith. So here it is. If you understand what the rest of God is, the Sabbath rest of God is, first of all, just trusting in a relationship with him, living out the life that God has designed for us that goes on into eternity in which the rest is forever. That is the Sabbath rest. And some of you, I hope all of you, are in that and have that in your future. But if you don't, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to tell the Lord, I really believe you. I really want to ask that you will come into my life. You need to do that. Those of you that have, you need to understand, you need to begin to experience that kind of rest. You need to live out that rest, trusting in God to fulfill all that he has promised in your life and not worry about the future one day when we enter into eternity. But one more thing that's really, really important. This is really the crux of what the passage is talking about. This is what the Hebrews has been focusing on continuously again and again and again. And that is the urgency for the Sabbath rest. Verse 7 and 8, follow with me there. God again set a certain day, calling it today. Today. Not 10 years from now, not 2 years from now, not tomorrow, today. Today. As he did then when a long time ago, later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Over these years, I'm sure some of you share probably my experience of sharing the gospel with people. You know, sometimes it's a little awkward, you know how it is, to share with your friend or your family. Sometimes it is. And you got a prodding in your heart, you know, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Maybe I'll do it a little later, right? I know. And even visiting somebody in the hospital sometime, well, this is not the right time. You know, if I'm sharing the gospel here, maybe they think that I'm saying that he's going to die or something like that, right? So you want to hesitate. Yeah, I know. I don't know how many people I have shared the gospel with, and some of them delayed and on. I remember this fellow. I remember him because he sat in his house, and he was telling me how he was one of the designer of the New York City subway system. Can you believe that? He was pretty old. He was in his 80s. And he was telling me how basically smart he was, and he was. He was a really smart engineer, scientist in a lot of ways. I began to share with him about Jesus Christ. And I don't believe in that stuff. I'm a scientist. I don't believe those things. And I was looking at him, and I realized he's pretty old. He's pretty old. But I gave it a shot anyway, shared the gospel, and he wasn't interested. Not too long after that, he died. And I was sad. I said, at least I gave it a shot, you know, gave it a shot. There's numbers of people I can think of in my mind that comes up. I remember Matt, visited him all the time. Almost every week I visited him. He's an older fellow. And he just wouldn't give his life to Jesus Christ. Just wouldn't do it. Probably went on for about 2-3 years until he died. He died. And he didn't know the Lord. I did his funeral. It was one of the hardest funerals I ever did. Because here is a man that I cared for, loved, visited almost weekly. And he didn't give his life to the Lord. I know where he was. I knew that he didn't enter the rest that God has given. Don't just assume that, you know, people are going to go there. I know we all want to think that. I know. You never want to think something not good happens to your relative or loved ones. But the fact of the matter is, this is the Word of God. This is what it's about. Next week, we're going to talk about more. We're going to talk about how the Word of God is a two-sharp, double-edged sword. It is real. What it says is going to cut in. It is truthful. You can't change it. It doesn't give in. It is His Word. So whatever His Word says, we have to believe it. We've got to follow it. We've got to trust it. And it says this, that unless we have faith in Jesus Christ, we do not enter into the Sabbath rest of God. And it says today is the day. Today is the day. And it's interesting that during one of our toughest times as Chinese people, not all of you are, most of you are Chinese people, think about it. The fear that's there. In China, in Wuhan, just amongst Chinese people. Went to a restaurant yesterday, but I went to that same restaurant a few nights back. It was empty. I've never seen it that empty before. People are so afraid they don't want to go to restaurants. The fear of what? The fear of death. The fear of contracting a disease that can kill you. And yet we all have diseases that's going to kill us. We're all going to. It's just sooner or later. But you know what? If you know Jesus Christ, you don't care. Because your Sabbath rest is there and it's eternal and no one can take that away from you. And it says here the urgency is today because there is a limitation of time. That's what it means. Today is the day of salvation. There is a limitation of time. You can't design it. You can't predict it. You don't know what would happen. whether a disease, whether a car accident, whether something happens to you. But today is the day, God said. He set a certain day, calling it today. Today, we hear his voice. Do not harden your heart. So for you that have not done so, today is the day. Today is the day. It's immediate. Or you can lose it. You don't know what will happen. And sometimes it is not because of a big accident or tragedy. Sometimes it's just your mind and your heart gets preoccupied. You're here in the church today, but you may never go to another church after today. You may be called out somewhere, done something. Something preoccupies your mind so that you don't even think about God anymore. Something you heard right now, right here, you have forgotten by tomorrow. It happens. And so today is gone. But one day, that day is going to come. And it'll be too late. You know, Canaan is an example for us. It is a type. That's what it is. Here it is, a few million people getting ready to enter into Canaan, a place where God has given to them, a place where they are going to have this rest, where the nation of Israel will thrive and flourish, where they're going to have their homes, they're going to have their cities, they're going to have all these blessings. And because of disobedience, because of unbelief, they didn't do it. And you follow the history, study the Old Testament, you'll find that they were turned around. And they spent the next 40 years wandering in circles, in the Sinai Peninsula, in the wilderness, just circle, eating manna, eating quail, you know, drinking water that God has given to them, protected by the Almighty God. But every single person in that generation died except Caleb and Joshua. Every single one. Because God said, in my anger, I will not let them enter. Because they unbelieving. I don't want that to happen to any of you. And God is so gracious to us, you know. He's so patient. You know, some of you have gave your life to Jesus Christ when you were just 5, 6 years old. That's great. You responded. Some of us didn't do that. I was 13 years old. Some of you, maybe you're in the 20s, 30, 40, 50s even. God is so patient. But one day that patience will end. But today, it is still the day of grace, right? It is awesome. I want to encourage you, if you have not, to do so. But also, for you that are believers in Jesus Christ, you have experienced this rest. Go tell it, man. Go tell it. Tell it to your brothers and sisters that don't know Jesus Christ. Tell it to your parents. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your coworkers. You say, oh, no, it's uncomfortable. It's socially not acceptable. Oh, yeah? So what? Because God's grace is available now, entering into that rest. The Sabbath rest, the full and final rest. I love in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Let me read that verse for you. It's interesting. There's so many things you can read, you know, find out. But Revelation chapter 14, it says here, verse 13. It says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for the deeds will follow them. See, we don't worry about death. Someone dies in our church, someone that knows Jesus Christ, we don't worry about death. They're going to the rest. Not rest in the sense of doing nothing, no. They're going into the eternal perfection forever and ever. And God is the one that gives that to us. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this rest that you have designed for us, a rest that that takes us out of all the stuff of this life, a rest that you have given to those who believe in you and trust in you and place their faith in you. Father, I pray that today, Lord, today will be the day for some. In fact, for anyone that has not already done so, today will be the day in which they experience this rest. by giving their lives to you. Father, I pray as well that you will help us as people of God, people who have experienced it, enjoyed it, and taken advantage of this great rest, that you will give us the courage and boldness to be able to tell others about it. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.